That's something I've been praying about that I'm going to probably start doing a little bit of at the end of the night here. Before we leave, I'm going to give one person a word from the Lord, and I'm going to put your, I'm going to write that word down. So just be thinking about that. Hopefully the waters will be troubled here in just a little bit, and we will have that word. Father, help me to have the words of eternal life for everybody in this room tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right then. We're going to start in Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2. And I think those guys up there are going to put that right on the board and the NLT. Yeah, this is a Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. For he laid the foundations on the seas and built it on the ocean's depths. You know, I have said this many times. I read the Bible and read it and read it till it started reading me and locating where I was. And this is a foundation verse in my life. This verse, there's no other, the Muslims or nobody else make this claim. The earth belongs to Creator God, okay? And all the resources and all the people on this, it all belongs to God. So the way that this works, I learned this as a kid. If you've got the football and you're in the alley playing, you can make the rules. And that's what God does. He's made the rules. And he's not going to change them just because it's 2022. He's just not going to. But the good news is, the important part of that, I begin to learn that. Genesis 1, 26, let us, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the earth. Now, he did not give that dominion to angels. He did not give it to demons. He did not give it to fallen angels. He gave that authority and that power to the church, to God's sons and daughters. And that's what we need to know and be happy about. We've got it. Another foundational verse in 4:13 is this. I don't say, I'm not going to make it. I think I'm catching a cold. I always say this, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And back in December when I was attacked by the devil, I didn't lay there. In fact, I got out of there, they said, quicker than anybody ever had before. And they were trying to hold me in there. And I said, well, I think you're trying to hold me against my will. If I have to, I'm going to make a call and have the police come. No, I didn't say that part. But I did tell them the part about there's nothing wrong with me. I can go. And it took them a couple of days to find out. And because why? Because I can do all things through Christ. I don't care what everybody else has got. I'm not getting cancer just because everybody else is. I'm not getting broke because everybody else is. I'm just not going to do that. And I'm going to use wisdom, learn things from the Bible that can empower me. That means when I speak, something's going to happen in the spirit world. Something's going to happen. Kelly and I went to Fort Smith yesterday, but before we went, Billy and I had a Bible study early that morning as the sun was coming up. But one of the things we prayed about was the traffic going up to Fort Smith and the different situations up there. And two times before we got home, one, there's a very, where we had to pull out of after we got that trailer full of food, there's a left turn that had to be made, and all that traffic on zero, and it was just as clear as a bell. And I said, thank you, God. Thank you. And then over here, we got to Coxville, and there's still retards driving. Now, don't be mad because I said that. Just dumb people. Dummies. I can remember going by that in Coxville there. JD and Nina had two accidents there. Almost got killed there. Well, me and Kelly, and here's a big black Chevy. Man, I'll tell you what. He's lucky I had that trailer. I would have went after him. He pulled out right in front of us. I mean, I was sure it wasn't my faith talking that I was going to hit that thing. Amen. Am I exaggerating at all? We didn't hit it. God didn't let us. And I thank you. God, thank you. I have a God that I can go through. I would be afraid to walk out of my house and start my day without prayer and declaration. Everybody say prayer and declaration. We present ourselves to God every morning, and we tell God, we are your children. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture. And we don't want to be anything else. That means you have a right to take us home any day you want to, Lord. We ain't going to complain about it. I'm just going to lay over and die when it's my time. I'm not going to, you know, Christ in me is to live, and to die is to gain. To be absent in the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. So then we get over to, I found this out. I found the more that I gave, the more that I got. I started raising kids that weren't mine. You know what? It just increased our, in every way. Our power, our strength, our finances, it just increased. And I want to show you something here. We love you guys so much, and I don't ever want you to think that we would ask you to do something that we wouldn't do. This is our little, I think we got five of these here. We'll get them back there. But we, this month, we are taking cream of mushroom, cream of anything soup. Chicken, mushroom. We use it all the time as we serve these dinners to people. And you know, how many of you know who Ross Rogers is over there in Paris in Prairie View? And he's got the implement shop there. 89 years young. We started getting them meals every week. And he said, tell me again, what is your name? I said, my name is Angelo. He said, oh, I said, you just a few weeks ago, you just helped me fix my brush hog, and you didn't charge me 2 cents. And I said, I'll be doggone if I'm going to drive by this place and not give you some meals for you and your wife. And by the way, when you're talking about that with anybody, those meals are not for poor people. Those meals are for senior citizens. There's a big difference. I enjoy going to Sherry's dad's house, Larry Turner, every week, and giving him a meal, and he gives us squash, and we hunt a little bit together. But God is good. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all of your need. I don't care what it is. According to what he's got, not according to what you got. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. When he said it was finished, something new started right then and there. And it was the age of the church being empowered on this earth. The Roman Empire, one of the largest empires there ever was, it took 300 years, but the church overcame the Roman Empire. And Constantine made sure that Rome became Christian. Pontius Pilate, who washed his hands, his wife told him, look, don't do nothing to that fella. I had a dream about him last night. He's a holy man. So in his weak way, he was trying to, but he had to keep the peace, he thought. And he got Jesus aside and said, don't you know that I've got the power to let you live or die? And Jesus said, you know what? No, you don't. I'm here by divine appointment. You don't have any power over me. I'm supposed to be here. You just do what you got to do. And when Jesus hung on that cross and said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then he said this. This was the beginning of your life. He said, it is finished. The treachery against my people on this earth is over. And at 70, almost 71, married 47 years, next month, August the 10th, 2 p.m. California time, 48 years. Be married 48 years. Been saved since I was 19 in 1971. And you know what? I don't know. I want to try to share my heart in a way that makes sense. I'm not here because I have to be here. I'm here because I want to be here. And God started answering prayers. I raised a baby from the dead when I was in 1974. It was my baby sister. She had died. And God didn't hear me and empower me because I was a preacher. He heard me and empowered me because I was a son and because I believed him. And the more I read that Bible, and it took me years to get certain things, but it does. You've got to have a hunger, see, because man doesn't do well. Man shall not live on bread alone. It's not enough to have a good car. I remember when Freddie Prinze took a .38 revolver and killed himself. I said, God, why is that? He said, well, son, man doesn't live by bread alone. You're not happy just because you ate today and you got a car and your car started. No, the kind of joy unspeakable and full of glory, you know what it comes from? Waking up and realizing you're a son. Waking up realizing you're a daughter of the Creator. And he's empowered you, and he has not empowered the devil. The only way the devil can get you is to get you to use your faith against yourself and turn your faith against yourself and start believing the lies of the devil. The Bible says you can believe a lie and be damned. So let me go to my next verse. And I'm preaching a message. Well, I'll read this next verse. Put up Psalm 24, 1 and 2, if you would, in the NLT, fellas. Thank you, and God bless you. Actually, put up Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 in the, I think the King James Version will do. Ephesians chapter 5, yeah. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let me tell you something about the days. God said in the book of Genesis chapter 6, my spirit will not always strive with men. From now on, their days will be 120 years. And people are still living that long, even in America, some of them. 120 years. So one of the biggest reasons, and I'm preaching a message on, let's try to stop making mistakes. There's all kinds of mistakes that we can make, and mistakes cost you. And you know what they cost you? What you can't buy back. Time. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Redeeming the time. And we could talk about relationships, getting hooked up the wrong way, the wrong time, with the wrong person. Dear God in heaven, I was asking Millie today. I said, I never thought I'd see the day. I know I'm twisted because I like Maury. And I said, Millie, did we ever know one person that in 1 month they had 6, 8 partners, sexual partners, and they couldn't figure out who their baby daddy is? I've never seen that in my life. Have you? I mean, have you? Some of you might. I mean, at the same time, the same little white people, black people, all kinds of people. Just, what is that all about? Me and Millie just go, well, we don't know. Let's have some more of that potato salad you made today. You know, we can't get back our time. Now, there are financial mistakes that you can make. There are so many ways to make mistakes. And the thing to do is to pray to God. God, if there's a stupid spirit on me, please take it off of me somehow in Jesus' name. Come off of me. If I'm doing something dumb, help me, Lord. Show me in your word. And the word has every answer that you need. And really, man does not live by bread alone. Man lives more by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's life for you. It's absolute, total life. It'll tell you how to live your life in every way. I think I've lived long enough, and in some ways, I'm an example of that. Because I tell almost every time I get up here, I did my best sinning after I got saved. I was 19 years old. And what I found out, there was somebody that could process my sin. Because if you're sinning and you don't have somebody to process your sin is going to turn against you and destroy you. You got to realize that. In just a few moments, we're going to take Holy Communion here. And I want you to hear this message. And I think about this all the time. I think about some of the major mistakes I've made in my life. And I think, dear God, how could I have been? How in the world? And then he'll take me to the Word and show me how I did that. You don't have to make big mistakes anymore. You have to make right decisions. And to do that, you've got to read that Bible. And you've got to know it as good as the preacher knows it. And it would help you to know it even better than the preacher knows it. That's the truth. One of the people I've seen change since she was about 30 years old is Mary Baker. Man, you talk about a change. Dear God in heaven, she changed. And she loves her kids more than she ever did. And she believes God more than she ever did. It's not a sin to get knocked down. But when you get knocked down, try to get up. If they have to drag you out of the church on a Wednesday night because you got a brain bleed, I don't know how I got that thing. It's just an attack of the devil. Oh, man, what a deal. But you don't have to stay down. And I'm also a good example because I don't live in poverty or stupidity very much anymore, but I still sin and make, see, I'm talking about mistakes. Sins, mistakes, because they'll just take you and put you in a wrong situation. So what you want to do is, when one of the things that we never did, we never drove vehicles that we couldn't afford. And man, we just got to where we could afford better and better. You know, you cannot outgive God. You just can't do it. God wants to help everybody in this room. And really, this message is good for everybody, including me. I really got fired up when I put it together. But we have to, when we pray in the morning, when we present ourselves to the Lord in the morning, say, God, help me not to make any major mistakes. Help me, God. I need your help. You know, I see that in David. And in the book of Acts, the Word of God says David was a man after God's own heart. So that's pretty good. And he said, Lord, where are you now? I can't feel you. I can't see. Where are you? I need your help. And he persevered, and he overcame, and he sinned. And God didn't hide it. Amen? But I want you to get to the place where you're redeeming the time because you only have so much time. And the Word teaches, this Bible teaches something here, very important. You can die before your time. The Bible, I've taught it here many times. When you put 3, 4, 5, 6 verses together on a subject, that's a doctrine. And I've preached that many times. You can die before your time. Do you have to? Nope. Absolutely not. You do not have to die before your time. And if you're sick, God will help you. But sometimes there are some things that are terrible that happen. I don't know it all. But, man, I'm amazed. Just watching Melissa. It was a Wednesday night. We was in McDonald's line, and a woman just got on the phone, and she was screaming and sobbing, said, my house is burning down right in front of me right now. I couldn't believe that. But look at her now. Amen. Look what's happening now. Now it's getting even time. See, when you know that word and you can lay your hands on your children, when you can walk in faith, and everybody's going to suffer at times, everybody's going to have disappointments, how do we get out of them? Well, prayer and praying the word, praying the promises. Many, many promises for us in God's word. And so we want to redeem that time because at best, see, I'm 70. If I lived it all out, I've got another 50 years, I guess. Yeah. I haven't lost that part of my mind yet, so. But I forget people's names like never before. That's not a good thing, but I'm not going to let it get me down. If you're a guy and I call you Joyce, don't get mad at me. Just give me a pray for me. And let's go to the next verse. Let's go to Psalm 90, verse 12 in the King James, and then I'm going to read it in the Passion Bible, which I like. And this is what it says. This is a key verse to help you stop wasting God's time and your time. It's so that you can do better. Because you know what? You know all God wants? All he wants is for you to be happy. And he's got your happiness. He's got your joy unspeakable and full of glory. When I was rebuking this drought a few minutes ago, I'm in every last word of it. I got more power than the devil. I got more power than any demon. I got more power than any sickness. I got it from God because I'm a son and because I believe he gave it to me for no other reasons, okay? I wasn't always this sexy and eloquent the way I speak. I had to look at Kelly. She's saying, oh, God, please stop this. I wasn't always this eloquent. I was very shy. I took a speech class when I was in high school. I couldn't even get up there and do my speech. I was so shy. But God changed that. And God can change. How many of you have one thing in your life by the show of hands that you want God to change in your life? Me too. At least one. And let me get that again. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Let me tell you something. Wisdom and the word go together. I dare you to read the word more than you ever have for the next 12 months, and you'll be hearing God like you've never heard him before. And you'll be blessed like you've never been blessed before. I'm amazed at my wife. I love the word and eat it, but she really eats it. She's up in the middle of the night, first thing in the morning. She gets our Bible study started. And I'm so proud of her. Proud that she's my little Millie. Now, I'm going to read that verse in the Passion Bible. I just like the way that it flowed. And this is what the same verse says in the Passion Bible. If you want to find out about this, anybody can get one of these Bibles. They're not that expensive. But it says, Psalm 90 and 12 says this, help us to remember that our days are numbered. See, at the end of the Bible, he's going to wipe away every tear. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more death. But we ain't there yet. And he says here, makes it pretty clear, help us to remember that our days are numbered and help us to interpret our lives correctly. See, if you can't figure out what happened to you, you're not going to have the right prayer. You got to figure out what happened. How did this come upon you? Whatever it is. Mistaken, it has to do with decisions. Help us to remember that our days are numbered and help us to interpret our lives correctly. Set your wisdom deeply inside our hearts so that we may accept your correction. Now, ain't nobody going to grow. Ain't nobody going to be guided. Ain't nobody going to be prospered without correction. Those that I love, I chastise and I discipline. And in the book of Hebrews, it says, now, no correction seems pleasant at the time, but afterwards, it produces righteousness. It produces wisdom. And wisdom has to do with you're going to make better choices. You really will. You're going to make killer, awesome, bullseye choices. That's what you want to do. I'm going to my last place already in the New Living Translation, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. And I want to show you a part of what I see people not doing, making these huge decisions and not doing this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I remember I was a youth pastor in Modesto, California. Remember Don and Sally Hedges? He was a CPA, spirit-filled, and I used to say, Don, I got this feeling. He worked with me. He worked under me in the youth ministry. I said, I got this feeling that I could buy a car and pay cash for it. What do you think about that? He was older than me. He was old enough to be my dad. He said, Angelo, I got one better than that. You can buy a house and pay cash for it. And we bought our current home in June of 1986. And 1 month in April of 1987, we paid it off. So I'm not telling you what I think. I'm up here telling you what I know. You can live that way. And it's the best way to live. And in the ministry, I always felt uncomfortable with too much debt. And so we were just very careful. And I don't know how many cars were driven. I just wrote a check for them. That was the end of that. But don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank you for what he's already done for you. Amen. How many of you, you got some things that you could thank him for? Yeah. Like Brother Larry says, yeah, I got both of my hands up. Listen, it is a joy to be one of your pastors here. We believe in every one of you, and we don't give you leftovers. We seek God. I believe this is what God told me to share with you tonight. And it wasn't bad. It was very instructive. There was Holy Spirit guidance as to what to do with something. You know, one of the things that I think to myself, oh, I got 10 more minutes on, is I wish I could be a time traveler and go back in time and not do some of the dumb things that I've done. Does anybody else ever feel like that? Now, in just a moment, we're going to, I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I believe that he wants to increase those gifts here, and I'm for that. I just need one person. We don't have time for, I wish we had. Does anybody have something that you want to get a word about? One person. If you do, stand up. If not, we don't have to do this. I'm just prepared to do it. Okay. Nobody wants it? All right. Do you even know what it is? It's when you get up and say, look, I've got this, this, and this going on in my life, and I need some direction. I need something. I gave one to Jennifer last Sunday night. I wrote it down on a piece of paper. Did that help you? Yeah. So we don't have no takers tonight. We'll just try it next Wednesday night. Nobody wants a word from the Lord? Okay. All right, Kelly. Stand up. Believe you me, every time I see her, I'm giving her words from the Lord. Now, I know this is a little uneasy, but this is not a Baptist church. I apologize, but it's not. This is a Holy Ghost tongue-talking, devil-chasing church. That's what we do. Now, Kelly, all I need is this from you. Just tell me a few things. Just say a few words about anything that you think you could say about it. And it doesn't, you know, speak in generalities. And do you need direction, or are you waiting on or anything like that? And I don't know if I've made myself clear enough what I'm trying to do. And I'm going to try to give her a word of knowledge, which is one of the 9 spiritual gifts found in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. Okay. Yes, she does. I'm going to demonstrate this to you. Hey, Siri, where is the Bible verse that says, "My peace I give unto you"?
Okay, I found this on the web for "Where is the Bible verse that says, 'My peace I give unto you'?" Check it out.
That's John 14:27. Now, when somebody, when a prophet, a man or woman of God, impart a word to you, you can, Patty, have I ever given you, and since I've known you, a word from the Lord? Most of the time, is it right? Yeah. This is what John chapter 14 and verse 27 says. Can you give me John 14:27 in the King James translation? If not, I'll have it up here in just a minute. John 14:27, King James translation. Got it? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives it. Now, let me tell you the peace of the world. When you got what you wanted. And not until. And that's the wrong kind of peace. That peace ain't going to help you. What she's asking for, she asked in wisdom. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I believe that's for your mill. You want to come over here and help me with your daughter? We should pray with her. Would you point your hands this way? If any female wants to come up and lay hands on her, you just feel, you know, Kelly, I honestly believe that's for you. I believe that's the way the gifts work. And we'll get into deeper. I just believe that we, and you do too, we need more. Yeah, any woman that wants to come up here, y'all just come on up here. Lay hands on your pastor. Father, in the matchless holy name of Jesus, we pray right now. And we just impart the God kind of peace, not as the world gives, on Kelly, where she can go forward and she can say in her soul, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. Life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen. Anybody else want to add to that? Don't be afraid to add something too if anybody else has anything. Take that verse and use it. Okay. Now, you might think I just pulled that out of my butt. But that's what God told me to do. That's what God told me to say. You got to go, Sister Mary? Thank you. Thank you for coming, Mary. By the way, Mary came here. She's got a thing on her leg. It looks terrible. It's not as terrible as it looks. And she needs prayer. She's got a tendon. Is it a tendon broken, Mary? She's going. Just let her go. It's time for us. That was the gifts of the Spirit. We're rusty. When I get to going, I remember Emmett Spencer. Anybody know Emmett Spencer? One night when we were on the square, There was about 130 people there. He was a master at giving words. He took me and he gave me everybody. Were you there, Tommy? He made me give everybody in that place a word from the Lord. And when I did that, I never had any more problems. But let's make an altar at your seat, or come to the altar, and let's take Holy Communion, because it will change your life. It will help and bless you tonight.